whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Nielsen, we have a podcast.
Diving deep into all things Texas, both on and off the field. Here's Sean Pendergast.
Welcome
to Utopia.
Hey, happy Friday, everybody. How we doing? Good morning, good afternoon, whatever time it is that you're listening to this. I'm Sean Pendergast, one half of Payne and Pendergast on Sports Radio 610. And welcome to the playoff preview edition of the Utopia Football Podcast. Chargers, Texans, Saturday, 3:30, basically high noon, but it's at 3:30. And the Texans playoff, what is hopefully a playoff run, gets underway on Saturday. So we'll dig into that in today's episode. We'll do a six-pack preview of Saturday's game. A quick reminder that you can hear the game on Sports Radio 610 and 100.3 The Bull, 3:30 kickoff. Texans countdown is at 12:30 p.m., and that stars me and Seth Payne, and we are expected to have some very good guests on the pregame show. If you're going to be out at the game, and you're tailgating and you want to stop by and say hello, if you haven't done that before, we are on a big stage just at the southeast corner outside of Bud Light Plaza. You can't miss it. And fingers crossed on the guests. Arian Foster is repping H-Town in this game, so I think you can probably connect the dots as to one of the guests that we're crossing fingers on, but we don't have full confirmation yet. I'll just go ahead and spill the beans. We're also hoping to get Jonathan Joseph on the pregame show as well. So fingers crossed on that one, too. Those would be two great guests to get if you want to swing by, watch the interviews live. We'll be out there doing the pregame show. It's right across from the Modelo activation, that Modelo beer garden, whatever they call it over there. So hope to see you out there. It's supposed to be a beautiful day for football on Saturday. Mid-50s, sunny, perfect tailgating weather in January for football. And this should be a hell of a game. Chargers still a three-point favorite. That has held steady all week long. That has not moved. Maybe it's moved half a point towards the Texans at times this week. I don't anticipate that thing getting over three. That extra half a point there on a three versus a 3.5 is a big half, especially for a game that I think most people think is going to be pretty close. I say most people. There's a lot of people out there that are just writing off the Texans. So, and I'm glad about that. Usually when society writes off a team like this, like the Texans, they're generally wrong. That's why cities like Vegas and Atlantic City and other cities that brick and mortar except sports betting have huge, huge places and hotels and shiny things. So so I'm cool with the Texans underdog vibe in the game this Saturday. As far as the injury report goes, it's pretty clean right now. The only one as of Wednesday, and I don't anticipate anybody moving in the wrong direction unless something happens at practice. The only one out is Shaq Mason among the 53 active on the roster. Obviously, there's several people out for the season, as we well know, significant players out for the season, but the Texans continue to grind along. So we should get our first look at Christian Harris and Azeez Al-Shaair playing alongside each other. Jeff Okuda looks to be available. He's back from his concussion that he sustained, whenever that was. So that gives D'Amico Ryan some flexibility in the secondary, which is probably going to be necessary with Ladd McConkey and Quentin Johnston catching passes for the Chargers. And John Metchie was practicing, and D'Nico Autry both practicing but limited on Wednesday this week. I would anticipate if either of them are still limited or maybe even a full go today, we'll get an injury report a little later. I'm recording this on Thursday, full disclosure. So this is as far as a 53 goes, this is about as healthy as you could expect this 53 to be at this stage of the season. So maybe that 10 days off, you know, prior to the Titans game and then the relative ease with which they beat the Titans helped this team in the long run. I like that Joe Mixon has only had 5 touches of the football since Christmas Day. I think that's an underplayed storyline and all this. We'll get into the six-pack of storylines here for this game in just a little bit, and I'll give you my prediction on the game. But I feel pretty good about where the team is at right now. I've felt better and better as the week has gone on. We had Nick Caserio on Payne and Pendergast on Wednesday this week. You can go back and listen to that interview. It's about 45 minutes long. You can listen to it on the Odyssey app, on the Payne and Pendergast podcast, which in addition to this podcast, I would ask you to subscribe, rate, and review. I actually went and looked at the ratings for this podcast for people who've reviewed it. And first of all, I'd love to get the numbers up there. If you listen to this, you want to give it a review and be honest, however it is you think. I was very excited. 4.8 on a scale of 1 to 5. So the people that are rating it really like it. So if you like it, that really helps, you know, with the algorithm and everything else when you give the podcast, when you give your opinion on it. So wherever it is you listen to it, feel free to do so. That would be fantastic. It'd be much appreciated here in the new year. So, Caserio, back to Caserio. He was on with us. I guess the big thing he said that got a lot of divergent opinions on, it was the very first question, pretty benign question that I asked him, just like, hey, how you feeling? You know, like your typical first question on what you know is going to be a long interview, where you just say, hey, man, how things going? How's the team doing? How are we feeling about Saturday? And Nick gave a typical answer of his where he was grateful for the opportunity, talked in a lot of GM speak about some certain things, which is fine. And then at one point he said that he and D'Amico looked at the schedule for this week, and when they were putting the practice schedule together, they understood that when this team works, and he stressed the word works, we get good results. And I'm paraphrasing a little bit there, but he stressed the word work. And I took that, especially considering he was talking about the structure of the schedule, to mean that he was talking about the way they practiced, you know, as opposed to doing walkthroughs, like real work, padded practice work. And I think that's the way Seth understood it as well. Seth actually asked a follow-up question about load management and GPS tracking and things like that. And Nick very much entertained that question and was pretty clear, I thought, that that's what he meant by in terms of the way in which they were working. Not that there were guys who weren't working hard. I know our afternoon show, The Drive, took it that way, that they thought that maybe that Nick was saying that there's, you know, maybe the work level hasn't been where it needs to be all year, which I can't say one way or the other. I'm not at any of the practices. What I do know is that I don't think in a million years Nick Caserio would come on our show and question the work ethic of the team. That's just, he's done 50 interviews with me and Seth since he became the GM, and never once has he thrown a player under the bus or criticized openly to that extent. You know, he's acknowledged when players need to play better, but that's like questioning your team's work ethic is a pretty big deal. So I don't think in a minute, in fact, I know, like I've been in contact since then, and he, you know, he clarified for me that no, I meant the putting on pads, you know, and getting out there and practicing, you know, hitting and things like that, not that guys aren't working. So it's at the very beginning of the podcast. If you want to go back and listen to it and see what you think when Nick talked about the team and the work that they're putting in to get ready for the Chargers. So, but that was the one thing he said that I think created some divergent opinions. I'm sure that there's fans out there, the Texans, who have been disappointed in this season, who hear it a certain way. You know, whatever your view is of something, I think always steers how you hear the nuance of things. But I thought Nick was pretty clear that he meant like the manner, not the manner, not the work level, but the style of practice, if you will. You know, they're just practicing. They're harder practices this week. They're practicing in pads. They're hitting. They're doing things like that, which is good. They studied it, and they said when they do that stuff, they play better. So I think the thing to keep in mind is that this is a short week, and the Texans, as I think it was Middle Screen pointed out in the mailbag episode earlier this week, they've not done well on short weeks this year. Short weeks, they're 0-4 with a couple of their most embarrassing performances. The Jets and the Titans were both on a short week. So were the Chiefs and the Ravens. There's no crime in losing to either of them. But the way they lost to the Ravens, I would say, is something that would alarm me about a short week. So we'll see how they manage this one. They're 0-4 on short weeks. They're 3-1 on weeks where they have longer rest. So we'll see. You know, if they win this game on Saturday, then there's a good chance they have at the very least a normal week in the divisional round, if not a longer week if they play on Sunday the following weekend. So let's get into it here then. That's kind of laying the groundwork for everything. That's where we are. 3-point underdog, 330 kick. So let's get into the six pack. These are the storylines, people, and trends, whatever you want to say, that I think are going to most impact or be the biggest stories heading into this game on Saturday. The first is, this is a pretty simple one, but the home field advantage. Going into week 18, there were basically two teams that the Texans could play. I know there's a small chance they could play the Ravens, but it was Steelers or Chargers. And in fact, it was looking way more like it was going to be the Steelers heading into the weekend than the Chargers. If the Steelers had beaten the Bengals, that's who would be coming to NRG Stadium. While the Steelers, I think right now, are a worse team than the Chargers, they're certainly playing worse. Steelers have lost four straight. Chargers have won three straight. The idea of Steeler fans, 25 to 30,000 of them, taking over NRG Stadium just nauseates me. So I'm glad we're avoiding that. I think conversely, the Chargers might be the polar opposite of the Steelers. I don't know that the Chargers have any fans that even show up in LA, let alone follow them on the playoffs here. So this should be a true home field advantage. Get in early to watch Arian Foster run out with the flag, rep in H-Town. So I think that's good news, because this season, the Texans defense, they've played their best football at home. And if we put the Ravens loss aside, again, the Ravens are an alien. They can't fight aliens. We know that. And if they have to get to the Super Bowl by fighting an alien, the Texans might be screwed. But against teams that are upper-level teams that I don't think have the alien qualities of the Ravens, Texans defense has been really good. Josh Allen might be the MVP of the league this year. They handed him his worst game of his career earlier this season at home. Jared Goff threw five interceptions against the Texans at NRG Stadium. Tua Tagovailoa was playing his best football in a long, long time coming into that game. They'd scored over 32 points in three of their previous four games. He had one of his worst games of the season, threw three picks in that game, had a strip sack fumble. I think Justin Herbert is somewhere in that tier of quarterbacks, Allen, Goff, Tua. I don't think, you know, like, I maybe not Allen level, but certainly at that Goff and Tua level. So I think the Texans have a great chance to get some pressure on Justin Herbert. The crowd needs to bring it on Saturday. They absolutely need to bring it. We'll talk more about getting heat on Justin Herbert in a minute. But I think the home field advantage thing is I think it's a bigger deal in this game, because when you look at if the crowd is like they were in the Browns game last year, that's going to be a true advantage. And I think what the possibility could have been with the Steelers coming to town and avoiding that, I think, is big. But they've got to force Justin Herbert into an Allen, Goff, Tua Tagovailoa in NRG Stadium type of game. That's can number one. Can number two, who other than Nico Collins is going to step up from this pass-catching group? The wide receiver room, we know, has been crushed by injuries. Diggs tearing his ACL. Diggs tearing his ACL. Tank Dell tearing pretty much everything below his pelvis in that Kansas City game. Nico Collins, when he's been on the field, he's shown he's one of the 8 or 10 best receivers in football. So you're good there. To win this game, and really to go any further in the postseason, the Texans are going to need a second weapon to step up, at least. Probably a third, if we're being honest. Probably, you know, a couple guys need to step up. But, you know, let's baby steps here, you know, bite size. Deontay Johnson is obviously the one that has the next best skill set to Nico Collins in terms of physical talent and receiving skill. Dalton Schultz and Robert Woods, they're veteran guys who need to step up in an environment like this. John Metchie is still more about intrigue and potential than I think production. I don't know that I still fully trust Metchie in these situations. But I think from what you can tell, obviously, there's no perfect answer right now. So this would be nice if Deontay Johnson is getting his head wrapped around the playbook and he can step in and be a poor man's Tank Dell here. That could be enough in this game. And then you worry about the next game when you get there. But I think that's a big storyline for me with the Texans is, I've said all season long, this offense is going to go as far as Joe Mixon and Nico Collins take it. It's gotten them to the playoffs. It needs to take them further, and they need somebody other than Nico. If I had to guess, like if you were to ask me, okay, Sean, put your money where your mouth is. If you have a prop bet on which of the non-Nico pass catchers go over their receiving total for whatever the prop bet is for them, and I admittedly have not looked at what the numbers are for each of these guys, I'd probably go Dalton Schultz. Like I could see in this game Dalton getting at the very least two or three little check down passes, because CJ's played it a little safer this year as the year's gone on. And then I could see him making a couple plays downfield. I can't imagine the number of catches for Dalton Schultz is more than 3.5. So I would say Dalton Schultz would be, he's the one. I'm hoping Deontay Johnson is the one that has the big day, because a big day for Deontay Johnson is going to be bigger than what constitutes a big day for any of these other guys other than Nico. So, but that's, they need somebody other than Nico Collins to step up here. This is a really good defense, and they bring the pressure on the outside. So CJ is going to be doing probably a lot of improv, probably a lot of scrambling, getting out of the pocket, looking downfield. So that's can number two. Can number three, the linebacking crew finally being fully whole. The Texans' big splurge, we know at linebacker this offseason, was Azeez Al-Shaair. They signed him to a 3-year deal. And when he's been on the field, I think he's been great for the Texans this year. He's been a great leader. He's been very productive. He's had some moments. Meanwhile, you have Christian Harris, who played like a Pro Bowler at the end last season. He was, you could argue he was their best defensive player in the postseason last year in the Cleveland and Baltimore games. But he missed the entire season until week 15, which was the first game of Azeez Al-Shaair's suspension for decapitating Trevor Lawrence. And then Azeez comes back last week. Christian Harris gets held out with the ankle injury. Looks like Christian Harris is a go now. So we finally get the two of them, and I'll throw Henry Toa in there as well, because Toa has been vastly improved. We finally get all three of them on the field at the same time, but in particular, Azeez and Christian Harris. And I would say just in time, given what the Chargers like to do. The Chargers like to run the football. And I think if you have these three linebackers who've all shown the athletic ability to go sideline to sideline, and with a great nose for the football, if they're going to try to run the ball and you can get them in bad down and distance situations, I think that's huge for this game. I think that would be great news, because if they can get them in bad down and distance situations, then can number four, heat on Justin Herbert. If he's in 3rd and 10 or 3rd and 11, the Texans are able to bottle up the Chargers on 1st and 2nd down. It makes it that much easier to get heat on Justin Herbert. So the strength of the Texans, we know, is the tandem of Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson Jr., and both with double-digit sacks. And they're going against a good tackle tandem, a very talented tackle tandem. Rashawn Slater was named to the Pro Bowl this year, but he's been banged up. He missed week 18, and he's been on their injury list. He's been practicing, but limited all week. And then on the other side, they have Joe Alt, who's a top-5 pick in this past draft out of Notre Dame, but he's a rookie playing in his first postseason game as an NFL player, doing it on the road against either Will Anderson Jr. or Danielle Hunter. Not optimal. Herbert's numbers under pressure this year are not good. He's 33rd in success rate when he's pressured. He's got a 72 passer rating. He threw all three of his interceptions while under pressure this year. His 72 passer rating while under pressure. Threw all three of his interceptions while under pressure. This is a non-negotiable thing. The Texans must heat up Justin Herbert. If they don't, it's going to be a long day. And so that to me is the biggest on-the-field key. The battle that matters is the tag team of Hunter and Will Anderson Jr. versus the tag team of Slater and Alt. Those all do sound like wrestling names too. You know what I mean? Hunter and Will Anderson. You know, like Will's like the long-lost nephew of Ole and Arn Anderson. Doesn't really look like them very much, but that, you know, you have Hunter, just call him Hunter. Hunter and Will Anderson versus Slater and Alt. That is WWE shit right there, man. That's the matchup that dictates this game. That's can number four. Can number five, and this is just a curiosity more than anything, because I'm not there in LA, nor are probably any of you, or many of you at least. I'm here in Houston. Well, it's very cold here. There's a whole lot worse things going on in LA right now with all these fires. I'm just curious how much that impacts the Chargers, their preparation, their headspace. Maybe it's a positive. I'm not saying the fires are positive. I'm saying like how they, you know, maybe how they process it. You know, it amps up that us against the world kind of thing. You know, sometimes the adversity, and Jim Harbaugh strikes me as a coach that will bottle up whatever adversity hits the team and channel it in a way that's productive. So I'm just curious. It's got to be impacting this team in some way, all those wildfires going on in LA, and it doesn't sound like it's getting better anytime soon. It sounds like they're spreading. And so I am curious. I don't know that that's something we're going to be able to – obviously, it's not something we're going to be able to see on the field. Like, you know, somebody gives up a sack. Oh, Well, clearly they were impacted by the wildfires. I'm just curious, like, how that's impacting the Chargers. To me, it can't be good, obviously, you know, unless they somehow take that adversity, you know, where you saw us with the hurricane back in 2017, or you know, you see other cities kind of rally around certain things. I wonder if that's the case. You know, I wonder what the relationship with the Chargers in the city of LA, where they've been the second class citizen there to the Rams, is this a, you know, is this, I know this is sports and this pales in comparison to the human life involved in all this and the property that everybody's losing, but this is a sports podcast. This is a news item that has to be impacting this game in some fashion. And that's, I'm just curious. That's all. I'm just curious. And we'll probably find out more after the game's over, how exactly it's been impacting, if it's been impacting the Chargers. But I don't think it's a situation that, in light of this game, you can ignore. And meanwhile, I would say thoughts and prayers to everybody in LA. And I mean that. That's I can't even imagine. Horrible situation. And I've been reading about, you know, the insurance companies pulling out of there a few months back. Several of them. So you have a lot of people that are losing homes that are uninsured right now. It's just, it's awful. I can't even imagine the nightmare that that is. All right. Can number six is always the prediction. 23-20 Texans. I'm going with the Texans. I think the home field advantage, I think this is a good matchup for the Texans defense, given that their front seven is fully healthy now. The Chargers have good receivers, but the Texans have a good secondary to maybe force some mistakes from Justin Herbert, who's been pretty mistake-free all year. So I'm counting on the Texans defense having one of their typical home games this year. Typical. I know there's been a couple stinkers, but typically they've been very good at home this year, the defense. And I'm counting on the offense doing their share. And that probably doesn't mean 30 points in this game, but I think first 1-20, probably first 1-21 wins this game, and I think that'll be the Houston Texans. 23-20, the final score. So I've got the Texans winning. I've got them covering, obviously, because they're an underdog. So I've got them winning on the money line. So there you go. So looking forward to that. Again, 3:30 on Saturday. You can hear the game on Sports Radio 610. Hey, quick reminder, if you want to email me, houmailbag@gmail.com. Love the emails we've been getting lately. And hopefully it's a lot of preview emails that we're getting next week for either the Chiefs or whoever would likely be the Chiefs, unless you get an upset from one of the teams below the Texans, the six or the seven seed. If the Steelers are able to beat the Ravens, or if the Broncos are able to knock off the Bills, either one of those, that would change the matchup because you reseed after the first round. If both of them win and the Texans win, the Texans will get a home game in the divisional round. Go figure. So that's the main thing I'm hoping for, obviously, is the Texans win, but especially because they're the first game on Saturday, I really want them to win, because if they lose, watching football the rest of the weekend just sucks. I'll happily do it, but it's just so much more fun to watch the playoffs when your team is still involved in the playoffs. So let's get it, Texans. Let's get a win. Let's get everybody feeling a little bit better about things, and then let's see where it goes from there. houmailbag@gmail.com. Subscribe, rate, and review. Make this the episode that you go ahead and hit it with a rating or a review. I really appreciate that. Appreciate all of you. And sharing the podcast with other Texan fans is very helpful as well. We're going to spread and grow this thing big in 2025. I'm appreciating everybody who's been part of it the last few years. All right. For Anthony Irwin, my producer, and who gets this podcast out to you guys promptly each and every week, three episodes. Appreciate Anthony and all of you for listening. Big thanks. Have a great weekend. Go Texans on Sunday. Let's get it. And we will we'll see on Saturday. Damn it. Saturday. If I'm not at the pregame show, it means I forgot what day the game is. Saturday. All right. Have a great weekend, everybody.